Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for another opportunity to share the word with you. I am going to share the word from the book of Luke, chapter 11, and Jesus' teaching. Lord, let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning. May we praise your name. Lord, we say thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your messages that are new every morning. Lord, this morning we pray that, Lord, you will use me as a vessel to deliver what you want your people to hear. And Lord, may your name be glorified now and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read from verse 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and then he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, he will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We're going to end there for now, and then we'll proceed. So Jesus was praying. Many times Jesus was praying. At one point he was praying, and he had asked his disciples to keep watch with him. And what happened? They fell asleep. And he came to them and started asking them, "Why couldn't you even watch? You couldn't you even stay awake for 1 hour?" So Jesus prayed many, many times. So he was leading by example. So one of the things that I have learned from this one is that Jesus was trying to give us, when he was teaching us how to pray, was giving us a model at which to pray. Usually my favorite version is from the King James, and I'm going to read it how it goes. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. So Jesus gave us this model and to remind us that when we are praying, who are we praying to? We are praying to our Father. So the word hallowed means holy. Eh? So we are honoring, start by addressing our Father, because every child has a father. Unfortunately, some have lost theirs. Maybe they have left their life, or Some have gone to be with the Lord, or have died. It's as simple as I can say. But when you are praying, prayer is a time of communion, and you are communing. You are communioning with your Father. People who don't have a relationship with God will start to refer to Him as the man upstairs. Have you ever heard of that? Or the big guy, and some damn names. But we who know who God is, we address Him as our Father, and we know. I remember one time we were watching, when we were doing this teachings by Nick Gamble. And one of the things he was trying to tell us, that who can call someone a father? He said King Charles III, one of his names, is the King of UK, is the Duke of Cornwall, the Earl of Chester, Baron of Greenwich, to name but a few. But to William and Harry, it's Daddy. So we are privileged to be the children of God. And to us, God is our Daddy. God is our Father. So this prayer is not meant to be recited without meaning it. So your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The model prayer shows us passion of God's glory and agenda. His name, kingdom, and will have top priority. Everyone wants to guard their own name and reputation. Because suppose you hear someone bad-mouthing you, maybe talking behind your back. But when you hear someone praising you, even when you are not watching, maybe you just accidentally bumped into him and say, well, I know Karen is a good person. Gavin is a good person. And you were not there, because they say most of the time people can say bad things when you are not watching. But if you did not know that he was there and you hear him praising you, you know. So God is also bothered about his reputation. So as children of God, we have a duty to protect his name and to honor him with all that we have. So this shows that prayer isn't just a tool to get what we want from God. It is a way to God to get God's will accomplished in us and all around us. Jesus wanted us to pray with the desire that God, that the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven there is no disobedience and there are no obstacles of God's will. But on earth there is disobedience and there are at least apparent many, many obstacles to his will. The citizens of Jesus' kingdom will want to see his will done as freely as on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus taught us this prayer and used it himself. And in the most unrestricted sense, when the blood and the sweat stood on his face, and all the fear and trembling of a man in anguish were upon him, he did not dispute the decree of the Father. Remember, this is when he was on the cross. Because at one time, Jesus was praying, and he had come to a breaking point. But eventually, what did he say? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Father. So, when we are praying this prayer, we know we are asking for God's will in our lives, God's will in our relatives, God's will in our children and our children and our children's children. One might rightly wonder why God wants us to pray that His will would be done if He were not able to accomplish it Himself. God is more than able to accomplish His will without our cooperation. Yet He invites us through the participation of our prayers, our hearts, and our action in seeing His will on earth be done. Amen. So we know that to pray to our Father requires faith, because he who comes to God must believe that He exists and He is able to answer His prayers, and He is able to do what we are asking of. Hallelujah. And Jesus, as usual, He was teaching through parables. He told us about this story, about the friend who comes knocking on the door. So apart from the contents, Jesus also wants us to know the persistence of prayers. So, which one of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight? Can I have bread? And they will say, no, the door is locked. But if the guy is persistent, he'll say, perhaps. I remember in Christmas time when we had that play by the children about Jesus' birth. The innkeeper, it was my little man there, my big man there. He was so grumpy, but he had to wake up. So there was no way, no hiding place. Every time, go, 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 go. Every time, do, 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 do. He has to wake up. He was throwing them the blankets and the whatever, but he didn't want to wake up. So even you might say, this guy is bothering me. Let me give bread so that I can sleep. So Jesus is telling us to pray fervently and persistently, without praying, without ceasing. We must come for what we need, as the man does to his neighbor or a friend who is kind to him. We must come for bread, what is needful, because Lord, he knows what we need, not what we want, because wants are not the same as needs. But if you come to God with your needs, God will definitely answer. And if we continue to pray, observe what we pray for, we must ask for the Holy Spirit as well. Not only as necessary in order to our praying well, but all spiritual blessings are included in that one. For by the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are brought to know God and ourselves. Because how we relate to God, addressing Him as Father, we know Him more of Him. And He knows more of us. And of course, He knows us. But when He knows that you are persistently seeking Him, Lord is pleased. And what He's going to do? Like a father, He will bless us. Amen? And this is the advantage of the prayer of faith, that it quiets and establishes the heart in God. And he said, pray with childlike confidence, because your child can not so much when they are older, but when they are smaller, they think daddy can do anything. I remember one time I was watching the history of the biography. It was an interview by Lionel Richie, the musician. So one time he was with his, he was about seven, maybe, about seven. He was with his father. And guess what? Some racist guys came. There were five of them. And They started abusing him, hurling insults and whatever. What did he do? He kept quiet. So eventually the guys left. So when they had left, they had gone all the way to, maybe they were at home. The son asked him, "Daddy, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you fight?" So he told his son, he said, "Son, I could have said something. I could have fought those guys, but they were going to kill me. And what would I have done? I would have left my 7-year-old boy. Who would bring him up? So I chose to be a father to you rather than, I'm useless if I'm in the grave. I cannot be there for you." So that's an earthly father. So his father, anyway, his father was Lionel Richie Sr. So that was Junior. So he just said, "I chose to be a father to you." So how much more of Jesus? We know Jesus went to the cross, died for us, sacrificed all he has so that we can have relationship with him. We can have eternal life. So, like, you know, Jesus gave us that parable. If a child asks for a fish, which father would give him a scorpion? If he asked for an egg, would he give him a snake? No. A good father gives good gifts. Even as earthly fathers, we know how to give good gifts to our children. And the Lord is also teaching us, insisting on, like I said, persistent. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We are told to keep on asking, seeking and knocking. All of the three verbs are continuous. Jesus is not speaking of single activities, but those that persists. These descriptions speak of an earnest and intensity. All too often, our prayers are merely wishes cast up to heaven, and this is not a real prayer. Like someone would say, sometimes our prayers are like crash landing, just an accident that is happening. Bam, and it has. Okay, God, and you are gone. Okay, I have to do this, I have to do this. Jesus is telling us to seek and to spend time with God. Like he says there, I have said this one before. So like someone say, the Lord's Prayer is not to be recited just as a cover for our prayers. It's a model. And it's a model of us to pray. And when we are growing, we can add more and more and more, not just to be, I know in schools, I've never been to school in the UK, but those who have been, they should know. That is like in schools, they recite the prayer every day. Or sometimes, I don't know how often now, but every day, "Our Father who art in heaven." But to some kids, it doesn't even cross their mind that what they are doing. But to those who know, it's a prayer that is supposed to be prayed fervently, with meaning it. Without the word, not with just the way the words should, without meaning it, we have to pray with persistence and to mean it, that we are know what, why we are seeking God, why we are praying it. And why we are praying is to get closer to God. And if we are closer to him, we will enjoy the love he offers and all the privileges that comes with them. Amen? And one of the things that, so now I will go to the next chapter. And maybe one thing which is very, very important in that prayer. If we want our prayers to be answered, what does it say there? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is key. I cannot be harboring a grudge against my brother or against my sister, and then at the same time I'm expecting God to answer my prayers. No. Forgiveness is key, because he said, as we forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. If you do not forgive, how will the Lord forgive you? Because you are hating their child. God created us equally. I'm no better than she is. I'm no better than my wife. I'm no better than my son. We are all equal. I'm no better than anyone here. To God, we are all the same. So if I hate him, God, if I don't like the person, God treats hatred as murder. Why? Because when you hate someone, you are capable of killing them. So that's, to God, the standard, that's murder. So without forgiveness, we are hindering our own prayers. We have to ensure we remember to forgive others. And guess what? It's happened. Jesus, verse 14, Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. And when the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd amazed. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. People can start accusing. They started accusing Jesus, picking up faults. Like we'd say, a fruitless tree cannot be thrown stones. Stones will only be thrown at trees, at a fruitful tree. Because I'll throw a stone so that I can get a mango back. I'll throw a stone so that I can get an apple if I cannot pick it, if it's up there. But otherwise, I can climb a tree. So they started accusing him. And Jesus, who knew exactly what they were doing, they were saying, started telling them, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If I'm here casting out demons by demons' powers, how can Satan be attacking Satan? So he told them, Satan's kingdom would therefore not stand. The point was that Satan would not work against himself, and his accusers had to answer how Satan benefited from the work Jesus had just done. Instead of praising the Lord, that may the Lord be praised, someone who was mute, couldn't speak all his life, now he can talk. Instead of praising Jesus, praising the Lord, they were just there trying to pick fault, trying to accuse. And Jesus also revealed the truly blessed. As it happened, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So if we hear the word of God and keep it, it germinates a seed in our heart, and we become doers of the word of God, God is pleased, and we are blessed. Amen. And verse 52. Jesus is trying to address the most terrible crime, is keeping others from God. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering you hindered. For you have taken away the key of knowledge. Their legalistic approach, you know how the Pharisees were. loading people with what some things they are not even doing themselves. So you are taking away understanding and knowledge, accusing Jesus of using demonic powers to heal people, accusing Jesus of eating without washing. He told them, it doesn't matter. It's not what enters the man's, but what comes out of his mouth. Because out of the heart, the truth comes out. That's what the people's spirit speaks. The truth comes out. So what comes out is what is we have to be careful of. So these people were giving the people the list of things to do and rules by which they could supposedly save themselves. They didn't help them at all. For themselves, they were not keeping them. So you did not, he said, you did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you, you hindered. It is bad for someone not to enter into heaven themselves, but it is worse for to hinder another person from entering. How can you hinder another person from entering? By not telling them the truth, by scratching their ears, telling them what they want to hear. Suppose someone is going through a very difficult time, and you are, instead of telling them, okay, surrender, pray to God, let's do this, let's pray for the will of God to be done in your life. You start to tell them, okay, you'll be good. You are not this one. You are not that one. Or you are showing them the wrong way instead. Okay, this is the way to healing. Let's go party. Well, parties can give you temporary happiness. But when the booze goes out of your head, what happened? The problem is back to square one. But Jesus' solution is permanent. So show the people the right way, the right thing to do. Even if they don't like it, they may hate you for that. But persistence. Keep telling them the same thing. What is right? As one African proverb say, if you light someone's lamp, it will brighten your path. You show the person the right word, the right path, God will bless you as well. Not just that person. Amen? And the Pharisees, being Pharisees, he said to them, as they began to assail him vehemently, to cross-examine him about many things, lying wait on him, also asking him for a sign. What did he tell them? You brood of vipers, you are asking for a sign. Do you really need a sign? There was a sign of Jonah. Jonah, they say in the Old Testament, is the greatest preacher of them all. Because one shout, the whole town got saved. The whole town of Nineveh. But it's after running away from God, and still people are asking for a sign. So the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently. They did not receive Jesus' correction. They preferred to stay in their own sinful thinking and habits rather than to repent and to learn from Jesus' rebuke. Their reaction was strong and violent in words, if not action, assail him. They might accuse him. The religious leaders responded the way many do. When they are faced with correction and the truth of God, instead of humbly receiving the correction, they responded with outrageous accusation. When you touch a nerve, sometime when you are speaking in the pulpit, when someone maybe touches a nerve, I'm sorry, it's not meant it's not meant maybe for you. And if it touches a nerve, it is meant for you. And the person that is speaking there maybe doesn't even know that he's talking about you. But God knows. So instead of you receiving correction, you start sulking. You start, okay, I'm leaving this church. How can he say that about me? I'm sorry. Take it on the chin. Take the correction. And instead of accusing Jesus. Proverbs tells us that those who refuse correction, first they hate those who correct them. Like as they say, Proverbs 15:12, verse 12, a scoffer resents one who rebukes him and tries to teach him, nor will he go to the wise for counsel and instruction. I'm reading from, this one is from the Amplified Version. And second, they do not listen to the one correcting them. Third, they despise their own soul. That is Proverbs 15:32. And they do not listen to one correcting them. That's Proverbs 13:1, verse 1. Yeah? And they, in Amplified Version, he who neglects and ignores instruction and the discipline despises himself. So, when you are being corrected and you don't want to take it, you are doing your own self harm, not someone else. But he who learns from rebuke acquires understanding and grows in wisdom. So those proverbs tells us the character of those who refuse correction. Yeah. So, Proverbs 12, verse 1, what does they say? They are stupid, simple, and they are foolish. A fool, they say, only a fool rejects his father's instruction and correction. But he who is willing to learn and regards and keep in mind a reprimand acquires good sense, acquires wisdom. Okay, so let's wind up. So Jesus taught us to pray and insisted on praying without ceasing, to approach God with confidence that he is the sole provider of all our needs and he will not disappoint us. We should also look to our hearts that they may be cleansed and then be new created. While we attend to greater things of the law of the gospel, we must not neglect the smaller matters God has appointed. When any wait to catch something out of our mouths that they may ensnare us, oh Lord, give us your prudence and your patience and disappoint their evil purposes. Furnish us with such meekness and patience that we may glory in reproaches for Christ's sake, that your Holy Spirit may rest upon us. Christ had promised that no more sign will be given. Yeah. Like I said, the sign of Jonah was enough. So this morning, how is your prayer life? Do you think it could be better? Do you think it's maybe good? Excellent. Oh, is it good? Or is it somehow? Or is it non-existent? Let's follow Jesus' example. He always prayed, so should we. Remember King Solomon? King Solomon, God asked him, what do you want? And what did he say? I want wisdom. Did God give him wisdom? Yes, he did. But not did he give him only wisdom? Not only wisdom. He gave him more and more blessings. Wealth followed him. Mercy followed him. Good health followed him. So if we ask God and we abide with God, God will give us. We ask for wisdom. We ask for the Holy Spirit. God will give us. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name this morning. We say thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Lord, thank you for reminding us who you are and what you can do and what we can achieve through you by praying persistently and, Lord, by always doing what we are supposed to do. Lord, loving you unconditionally and seeking you and without ceasing. Thank you, Father God. Lord, bless every one of us to be the hearers of the word and the doers of the word. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have a song. So, Nathan, when you are ready.